your Bible tonight, turn please to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. It turned into a great crowd in here tonight. I'm happy that you all made it in. And Brother Chuck, we already announced it before you came in, but there's flyers for the Veterans Breakfast back there. Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says in verse number 12, "For the word of God is quick." What does that mean? It's alive, okay? The word of God, which coincidentally, you didn't know I used the Living Bible, did you? That's a joke. Oh, come on now. It's alive because the Word of God is living, right? Okay, here we go. "The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Heavenly Father, in these few moments, speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you about loving with a pure heart. Loving with a pure heart. You know, I believe that so much of what we do in this life is colored by guile. Guile is essentially a deceit, deceitfulness. But there are times where we may say that we love someone, or we may try to demonstrate a love for something, and that love may be tainted by an element of deceit, where that it is not really love that leads us onward in that matter. It's something more selfish than that. And I believe that the Bible tells us very clearly in the book of Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now, I was talking to a gentleman today, and he said, "God's been giving me all this stuff." And he said, "You know, I don't mean that, you know, I'm having these charismatic type visions, but God's just shown me things." And I laughed. I said, "What you're trying to tell me is that God's giving you dreams and visions, but they don't include any 800 feet Jesus in them, right?" And he's like, "Yeah, that's what I mean. God's given me some stuff. He's shown me some things, but it's not some way out there supernatural thing. It's just God speaking to my heart." And you know, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people I know that they say, "I don't see God in this. How could God be in what's happening in our economy? How could God be in the fact that 50 million babies have been slaughtered since Roe v. Wade with taxpayer-funded abortions? Now, where's God in all this stuff? Where's God over in the Middle East while people are being slaughtered in the streets? Where's God in New Zealand? I don't see God in any of this." And the truth is, what it reveals is an impurity in the heart, because the Bible says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now, they might hope to at some time catch a glimpse of the Lord. It says, that's a promise. Did you catch it? They shall see God. You know what that means? They're going to see the hand of God in everything. They're going to see a manifestation of the Lord in everything. You know, when I lived in Southern California, sometimes I'd be driving to work or driving home from work, and I look up and I see the most beautiful sunsets that you have ever imagined. And you know, sometimes the most beautiful sunsets that we saw were made more beautiful because of smog. And you know what? Somebody driving home like, "Stinking smog, tearing up the ozone layer, you know, giving everybody lung cancer." And you know what? I'm thinking, man, God has just rolled out the canopy of heaven and created a masterpiece for me. And you know, here's one person driving home that's mad because all this O2 emission is tearing up the ozone layer, and we're destroying the planet. And somebody right beside him is not having road rage. They're just in awe of the handiwork of God. You know what? I see people come to church and they think,
Bless God, you know, where's so-and-so? Where's God in this? They're sick. They got cancer. Where are they looking? All these problems. We got page after page of prayer requests. I don't see God in any of that. And you know, somebody sitting next to you saying, man, isn't God good? That we have a God to whom we can turn in times of distress and look at the comfort and the grace that He's given to these people that are going through these heartaches and hardships. And they see it. Why? What's the difference? The difference is a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The ones that are always thinking that God's mad, God's doing something to them, and God's down on them, and having a negative disposition. It's because their heart is filled with that which would defile it to the point where when God reveals Himself to them, they're not seeing it. You know what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12? It's another great verse about our heart. It says this. It says in Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You know what that means? That doesn't mean that if you're holy, that if you only that if you manufacture your own holiness, that God's going to grace you with His presence, because by definition, it wouldn't be grace at all. But when we determine to honor God and to live at peace with our brethren, and we determine to follow the path that God has put in front of us, the paths of righteousness, God, You lead me in a holy direction. When we determine just to say, God, You said, He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. And when we say, okay, Lord, You're the leader, lead on. Lead me in the paths of righteousness. You see, what we're doing is we're following peace and we're following holiness. Do you see that? And it's leading us along. And when we do, guess what? It says, apart from this, no man will see God. The Lord said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Here it says, follow peace with all men and holiness. Following God, the righteous one, the holy one. Walking in His way. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And when we do, God will manifest Himself to us all along the way. Did you see the Lord today? Did you see the handiwork of God today? Did you pause to thank Him for another day, beautiful sunrise, the wonder in a four-year-old's eyes? Did you look at the wonder in the eyes of the new believer as they begin to understand things that were too wonderful for the carnal mind to receive? I walked around today, and everywhere I looked, I saw God. I want to keep a pure heart. I don't want to be filled with guile and never see the working of God, never see the manifestation of God. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, let me say this to you. The best way that you can interpret the Bible is with the Bible. We should interpret Scripture with Scripture. We don't take the writings of men, the assumptions of men, and try to make that jive with what the Bible says. We compare the Scripture with the Scripture, and we can arrive at a proper interpretation of that Scripture. We can know faithfully that God is going to uphold what He is trying to communicate without man messing around with it, right? It's the Word of God. Now, when we compare Scripture with Scripture in this matter, Boy, I'm just going to preach the introduction of this sermon. We'll preach more of it next week. So don't worry, I won't let you out too late. I know it's a school night. Some of you are worried about it. But look, John chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, right? And the Word was with God. And those of you that are in the Journey Discipleship Program, and the Word, what? Was God. It doesn't say the Word was a God, does it? Unless you have the New World perversion of the Scriptures. Okay. They insert an article there, and that little letter A destroys the purity of that whole verse. And that's what they try to do. They try to humanize God. And they try to deify man. But what I want you to see is this. That the Bible tells us there, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us in verse 14. Capital W. So in the beginning was the Word. Who's that? Jesus. Jesus. Okay. John 1:14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who's the Word there? Jesus. Okay. Guess what? Jesus is the revelation of the written Word of God. So, when the Bible says the Word of God is quick, it's living, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, guess who is the Word? Jesus. He's the revelation of the written Word. And so, He knows your heart. Because this Bible, the Word of God, is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows what's in your heart. Now, I know that the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 7, I believe it is, or is it chapter 7? You can check me out on that. When the Lord said, look not on the outward, because man seeth not as God seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. God looketh on the heart. So, we recognize that God is looking at our hearts, and He knows whether or not our hearts are pure. He knows whether our hearts are pure. You know, the Bible admonishes us in 1 Peter chapter 1, 2. It says, seeing you have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit, here's the result, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. In other words, pure-hearted love. Love the brethren. Purify your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. That's what the Bible says there. You know, God knows whether or not we have a pure heart towards Him. He knows what you say and what you do often don't match. He knows that we say we love Him and then we do something else. And He sees the disconnect. He knows it. You know, we can pull the wool over one another's eyes, but we'll never be able to do that with God because He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, that is not meant as any form of a threat or anything. It's just a reminder that God knows what is in our hearts. Now, just by means of introduction into this, I want you to think about something with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at it with me for just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, which is what?
Love.
I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Is a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal something that's good in this passage, yes or no?
No,
it's not good. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love or charity, I am what?
Nothing.
And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not what?
Charity
or love, it profiteth me nothing. Now, turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible tells us in verse 11,
For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Did you see that?
Yes.
Okay, now, at the Bema Seat of Christ, guess what? God's not going to have a big video screen up there and play all of your sins for everybody to see. You know why? Because all your sins were laid on Jesus. They were adjudicated at the cross. When you received Christ, you were declared to be the very righteousness of God in the person of Jesus Christ. You were pronounced not guilty on the basis of price paid in full. And so that sin was dealt for once for all. Past, present, future. It was laid on Jesus. You understand that? Okay, so listen. God's not going to bring that up against you ever again. A number of times throughout the Scriptures we read, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. For God to put all your sins on a video screen for the world to see would make Him a liar. And the Bible says in Hebrews that God cannot lie. You understand that? He said, I'm not going to bring them up against you ever again. I will not remember them against you anymore is literally the context in which the Bible is speaking there. So God's not going to put those on a video screen, or He would be a liar and then He would not be God and we would all be without hope. You understand that? So at that judgment seat or that Bema Seat of Jesus Christ, the works of the saved man will be tried. They will be judged. Okay? They're going to be tried with the finding eye of the Lord. They'll be tried, the Bible tells us, with fire, of what sort they are. What kind of work is it? Okay? Now, you say, it was a good thing. I taught a Sunday school class. Okay? What sort of work was it? Were you angry? Were you upset with God? Did you take it out on the kids? Were you doing it because you wanted everybody to think well of you? Were you doing it because you felt you had to do it? There was nobody else to do it? Why did you do that? You see, when it says, every man's work shall be tried, it says, it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. All right? Now look, there's work that's going to profit something, right? And there's work that will profit nothing. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 gives us a window into God's divine sorter. Okay? Now, some of you grew up eating pinto beans. How many of you ever grew up eating pinto beans? Okay? All right, there's some educated folks in the crowd tonight. And so, look, we come from a bean farming heritage. And my Aunt Arlene has probably sorted a trillion beans. At least in her lifetime, a trillion. Okay, and you know what you do? You put all those beans out on the table or on a flat surface, and you have a little butter knife or something, and you put the good ones over here, and you take out the stones and the splits. How many of you have ever done that? You're sorting the good beans from the bad beans. Inevitably, you have a few stones and dirt clods in there. Right? Inevitably, you have some splits in there. And you call those out. And those go in the trash. There's a loss there. Now, at the judgment seat of Christ, God's not going to be up there with the butter knife, you know, separating all your good works and throwing it. But you know what? It's going to be with the fire of God's judgment. His holy eye will be able to discern those works done for Him in love. And if it was done in love, gold, silver, and precious stone is what it yields. If it was not done out of a pure heart for God, guess what? Wood, hay, stubble, it's burned. There's no profit. It
profiteth me nothing. Why? Wasn't done with a pure heart. Wasn't done with a pure heart. Look. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You know what that proves again? The judgment seat of Christ isn't about God judging your sin. It was judged at the cross. You're saved. This is the judgment of the works of the saints. Okay? And the divine sorter is, did you do it with the pure heart of love for the Savior? The pure heart of love for the Savior. Now, that's just really my introduction to this sermon. And so, I want you to think on that. And then next week, we're going to look at what it means to love with a pure heart fervently. And to understand that that is what God sees and beholds. And I don't know about you, but I want to have a pure heart. Because with everything that's going on in the world, I don't want to be in despair all the time. I don't want to be running scared all the time. I want to see God all the time. Don't you? I don't want to turn on the news and cry because of all that's going on. I don't want to turn on the financial news network and hear about crude oil prices and triple digit losses in the stock market and that Walmart, which is an icon in industry, is having a hard time. And all these things unsettle a consuming public. And the world is running scared. But you know what? I don't want to see that. I want to see God in everything. I want to know, you know what? The Lord's just getting ready. Come get us. Right? And man, I'm excited. I think, you know what? We're going to see a depression in our country. And that wasn't bad for us. You know what? It brought us back to our values. It made people treasure the things that are truly important, like family. You know, a day's coming where the people in this country are going to have to make a decision. Am I going to diaper the babies or am I going to pay for the cable? You know, I'm serious. Now, look. We help folks at Freeway, and we're going to keep on helping them until Jesus comes. The Lord said, the poor you have with you always. But sometimes people are poor because they make poor choices. Do you know what I'm saying? Because they can't afford, they said, I can't come to church because I can't afford to buy gas to put in the car, but they can afford to pay the cable bill. And what it does is it reveals their values. Because you fund what's important to you. You know what I'm saying? I think I told you a survey was taken of, I think, 100,000 Americans, and they were asked, if someone offered you $1 million to give up on television for life, you know what? There was a huge, I don't remember the exact percentage now, it's been several years ago, there was a huge percentage of people that said for $1 million they wouldn't give up on television for life. It was unbelievable. But I tell you what, take a whole lot less than that to entice me, amen. In fact, if anybody wants to take me out for dinner or something like that, that might entice me sufficiently. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting less and less enchanted with it the more and more profane it becomes, and you can't hardly even watch news anymore without getting the commercials degrading you. What's up with this? I don't quite get it sometimes, but we need to love with a pure heart fervently. Amen? Amen. Love Jesus and love the brethren. The unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They'll see God. No, that's the peacemaker. That peacemaker is Colt 45. Isn't that a new state weapon? But that's another sermon in another day. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. And we thank you, Lord, for these dear precious folks that are so faithful. God, I pray that we might serve you with a pure heart. And Lord, may we see God everywhere. Lord, I pray that you would use this study in the days ahead to enrich us and to draw us more into love with our Savior. For we pray this in His wonderful name and for His glory. Amen. God bless you.